Welcome back to our study of the Corinthian letters. My name's Bob. Today we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Get your Bible and open up to 4:4. And we were in the latter part of that verse. Paul's in a kind of a transition mode here. I don't know if he's doing that deliberately, but as it turned out, that's what it will be, because right after this, we're going to be talking about issue after issue. Right now, he's still dealing with this whole thing of Apollos and Peter and Paul and all these guys being set up by the Corinthian church as almost like godlike. You know, everybody was choosing their own God and going after that person. And he says, you guys, it doesn't bother me so much that you're judging me or examining me or comparing me to this person, that person. Now, as you read on here, you almost get the impression, and in 2 Corinthians is more than an impression, it's clearly the truth, that Paul is under attack. Already in his ministry, he's in under attack from people who just don't like this or don't like that. And no matter who you are, the more advanced you get, the more people you begin dealing with and teaching to, the more attacks are going to come. So you need to just write that down somewhere. That's how it's going to be. He says, it doesn't bother me that I'm examined by you. It doesn't bother me that you've judged me, that you think that somebody else is better than me or I'm better than somebody. That doesn't matter. I don't examine myself. I don't even care about examining myself. My conscience is clear. I know of nothing that's pressing against me. But that doesn't make me innocent. What makes me innocent? When God himself judges me. Verse 4, the end of the verse. The one who examines me is the Lord. I'm not worried about what you think. I'm not worried about what I think. I am worried about what God thinks. God is the one that we need to worry about, if we worry at all, about how people think about us. That doesn't matter what they think. What matters is what has God said about us. And you need to go to God, and I do it regularly. God, where do we stand? God, have I offended you? Show me things that I can't see myself because I'm blind to this. And I don't want to believe it. Just show me these things. And so, folks, and I'm in verse 5. Folks, don't go on passing judgment to each other. Don't go on lifting one person above another person, putting other people down in the process. That is painful to those people. Don't you understand what you're doing? Quit doing that before the time. There is a time coming. There is a time of judgment. There is a time of scorekeeping when the scores are released, and you will find out exactly where you stand and where you rate and where you rank. But not till the Lord comes. That's what it says. Wait till the Lord comes. He's going to bring it all to light. He's going to show us the insides of the people that we need to know about. He'll show you your insides. I don't know if the whole church is going to be made aware of everybody's insides, but you're going to know. He'll bring it all to light. Things that are hidden in the darkness right now about you, you're going to know if you don't know already. We're going to see why people did the things they did. We look at people and say, wow, they're really doing good things for God. They're really blessing the kingdom of God. But when we look inside their heart, we might find the rest of the story. That's what it's going to be like on that day. We'll find out the rest of the story, why these people were so effective or ineffective. The motives of men's hearts will be made manifest on that day. And then God will be praising people. Yeah, each man's praise will come to him from God. If you're going to ever get commended by anyone, let it be from God. Paul says we need to stop all this throwing out flatteries to each other or putting down to each other. Just let it go. Just let it go. And on that day, God himself will pick it up, and he'll let everybody know who they really are and were. If they didn't know what they were doing or why, he's going to tell them on that day, and you probably will hear about it too eventually. Now, brothers, verse 6. Brothers, You know, I've been telling you all this stuff. All these stories, all these pictures about planting and watering in a field and the builders on a building. All these pictures. I've taken these pictures and told these to you and applied them to myself. Applied them to Peter, to Apollos. I've been telling you all these things so that you just forget people. You'll just forget us and just look at what is written. Look at the things I've written to you, not just here, but in my last letter. You're going to see in the next chapter that this isn't really 1 Corinthians. I don't know what Corinthians this is. This is the first one that was bona fide by the whole church later on and say, yeah, this is the word of God, and this is the one that was passed on around. There was another Corinthian letter, maybe several, who knows, that got lost. And so he was writing things to them as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's saying, I want you guys just to look at what I write. You know, you can expand that to just the Bible, or what is written. Just worry about what God has said, not who said it, not why they said it, but if God wrote it down for us through his men, then that's what's important. We don't have to go behind that to see men. Learn not to exceed what is written, so that none of you will start getting proud in behalf of one against another. You see, if you read an epistle and you think, oh, I know that guy. Yeah, he's okay, but this guy over here is better. And there really are people like that in the church today. There are people who will swear by the Apostle Paul, like Paul is everything to them. Others will say Paul is nothing. I mean, they really do go to extremes. People who say all we really need is the red letters in the Bible, only what Jesus said, or a few maybe going after John or Peter. Well, Peter was the first Pope, you know, so he's the one that we're going to follow. It really is still happening, and it's anathema. It's a stay away from it. It's not from God. God's given us 40 different men who wrote the Bible over 1600 years. You can trust them all. They have different things to say in your life at different times, but you don't look at the men. You look at the Holy Spirit who wrote through these men, put it down for you so that somebody can read it to you, or you can read it yourself and know exactly what God wants you to do. I think that's good. The problem was already developing right here in the Church of Corinth of people who were putting one person up and another person down. He just keeps dwelling on it. That's why I keep dwelling on it, because I'm just following the text. Look at this, verse 7. Who do you think you are? He didn't say that exactly, but he says, who regards you as superior? Why should I trust your judgment? Why should the whole church, your Corinthian church, or anybody that hears about you, why should we all be subjected to what you think about me? Who cares? Who told you that your judgment is to be elevated above everybody else's? What do you have that you didn't receive? You're acting so proud. Everything you heard it from me or from other apostles. Why are you lifting yourself up as though you know so much now? If you receive stuff, why are you boasting about it as though it came from you somehow? You're the ones who are the source of all wisdom, and you're going to tell everybody, Paul is good, Apollos is not good, Peter's okay. You guys have no business doing this kind of thing. Verse 8 is confusing unless you get into some of the sarcasm of Paul. Paul could be sarcastic at times. I'll show it to you whenever we come to it. I think this is one of them, because there's a little bit of a contradiction in the verse. If you're reading along, you are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. Indeed, I wish you had become. Well, had they or hadn't they? You see that? You have become kings without us. And then he says, I wish that you had become kings. Had they become kings? Now, you see, the first part of this verse is all about in their mind. They were a legend in their own mind, you know. You just become so rich. In your mind, in your thinking, you're just so rich. You're already filled. You've got it all. You've risen to the top already. You've become kings without us. Paul says, I wish you were all kings, because on the day that you become kings, I'll be a king too. Because Jesus is going to make certain people in his kingdom kings. Kings and priests. We've been called to that. He says, I wish you were kings, because if you were kings, that means Jesus has come and we're all kings. No, you're not kings yet. I wish you were, because we'd like to reign there with you. If you're so special that you've become a king, I'd like to become a king too. But in fact, Paul says, verse 9, I'm not a king. I'm no king at all. In fact, I think God has made us apostles, he's talking about, last. Hear it now. Hear this very well. This is so, so important. Apostles last. Now, I know there's a scripture about them being first, too. We'll get to that in this book. But I want you to hear this part. Because we still have a lot of folks today saying they're apostles, but they're not last at all. They're living the life of Riley, as we used to say way back in my generation. Oh, they're doing so good. They're really prospering. Paul didn't prosper, not that way. God has put us on exhibit. Exhibit A, apostles. Here we are, men condemned to death. There's a sign around our neck and it says, condemned to death. That's us, up on the chopping block, on the slave block. Condemned to death. We've become a spectacle to the world. Everybody's looking at us. Not looking up, looking down. Even angels. Are these demons he's talking about? I would think that God's angels looked highly at Paul. But there are people, there were creatures in the angelic world, the demonic world, and many men who looked down their noses at Paul, as many did at Jesus when he was here. We're fools. I hear people quoting. I really don't like it when we pick a verse up and say, that's my verse. I'm a fool for Christ's sake. No, you're not. Paul was. Most of the people hearing me right now, you're not. I'm not. Not like this. The we here is not all Christians. This is Paul. This is apostles. This is the guys that are last in the world. Jesus said, the last shall be first. So you got to be sure that you're last if you want to be made first one day. Paul knew. Oh, Paul knew he was last. Fools. Oh, but you're so smart, he said. Yeah, we're weak. We're literally weak. We crawl from town to town after having been beaten here and put in jail over there and put in a shipwreck over there. And we just barely make it from place to place. But you guys, you're strong. You think you are. Yeah, you're strong. You're distinguished. Everybody looks up to you. Not us. They don't look up to us. We're not honorable men at all. People hate us, spit on us. We're hungry. Oh, but God always feeds his own. Yeah, Paul didn't die of hunger, but he was hungry. He was thirsty. Didn't have the kind of clothes on his back that you have, Corinthians, Americans. Roughly treated. When's the last time you were roughly treated? For Jesus' sake. Homeless. What? You mean God doesn't provide a home? Yeah, every night there's a rock somewhere that you can put your head on if you're an apostle, if you're Jesus. These are the people of whom the world is not worthy. Remember that phrase out of Hebrews? We toil. That's almost like a curse to some. We actually have to work. We have to work with our own hands, even though we're doing all this other stuff for the church. We got to provide a living too. You think I'm getting offerings everywhere? Well, sometimes I do get offerings, Paul would say. He would tell us. But quite often, he had to work on his own. People revile us. They curse us. They hate us. What do? We bless them. They persecute us. What do? We endure. We're slandered. They're lying about us. What do? And we try to tell them the truth and try to get together with them again and bring unity back. We're the scum of the world. We're the dregs. We're the very bottom. We're the pit. Even till now, that's us. Do you know people calling themselves apostles today who could give this as their bio today? This is how they live. Do you know anyone like that? Paul says the apostles are last. That's why they're first. You understand that teaching? Jesus said it. You're going to be the last. The last shall be first. You've got to be servants. You've got to be humble. You got to be lowly. Talking to apostles here. And though he has come on pretty strong, and my voice probably is a little harsher than his, I don't know what he would have sounded like if he was saying this in person with a voice. He's writing this, but he has to add in verse 14, look, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. He could be very gentle. Though they weren't gentle to him. They weren't kind to him. They weren't loving to him. They weren't accepting of him. But he could be very kind. He's proving here what he was just saying. You guys deciding who's the best. Some of you think it's me and some of you think it's somebody else. Oh, get off of that. But even in spite of the way you're treating me and talking about me, I'm not trying to shame you. No, I almost view you guys as my kids, my own children. I'm trying to comfort you, to admonish you, as though you were sitting in front of me and I was your father and you were my children and I was encouraging you to do the right stuff, you know? You got a lot of teachers, by the way. I'm still just reading the text here, okay? I'm paraphrasing as we go. I'm in verse 15 if you didn't know that yet. He says, you've got a lot of teachers, a lot of instructors, a lot of people who will give you Bible studies and do nice things for you that way. They'll teach you this and teach you that, write you books. You got a lot of people doing that. I mean, everybody loves to teach the Bible. But not too many people want to be your father. You know, even earthly fathers, you got a lot of earthly fathers that don't want to be fathers. They just were biological fathers. You got one of those. You got a heavenly father. But in terms of spiritual things, who is it that would not only bring you to Christ and therefore be your true, the vessel through whom you came to Christ, but then would take you from there and nourish you, admonish you, take care of you, be sure that you don't go astray? I feel like a father to you. Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Don't you see why I love you? He really loved these people. When he wrote these letters, he wrote it out of love. His heart was churning for them. He didn't want them to go astray. It broke his heart when he saw bad things going on in the church. It broke his heart, literally. And he had to say stuff like this, some of it very strong. But it was the strength of love, not the strength of the dictator. He just loved his kids. And so I'm telling you, verse 16, follow me. Do what I do. Look at my life. Watch me. And do what I do. Yeah, you can do what I say, but I'm living what I'm telling about also, so you can do what I do. You've heard about my life. You saw me there for a year and a half. and you've heard about me since, and you can do what I'm telling you. Just imitate me. But I don't know. I don't know if you're going to do that. I wish you would. But to kind of help you along, I'm going to send Timothy. You remember Timothy? Yeah. Great man, huh? And you saw, didn't you? Timothy is doing what I do. He lives like I live. So I'm going to send him back to you. And he's like a child to me, too. I brought him to the Lord. I trained him. He's been with me all the time. Unlike you guys, I had to let you go for a while. But this guy's been with me quite some time. He's been watching me day after day after day. He knows me. He lives like me as I live like Christ. And when he comes to you, you're going to be able to see me in him. So I want you to watch Timothy. Look at his life. And he's going to remind you of my ways. When you see Timothy, you're going to say, oh, that's Paul. That's exactly the same kind of thing Paul had. You ever seen a son like that? I'm thinking also of the Billy Graham lookalikes, too. You know how many preachers up in the Minneapolis area tried to preach just like Billy Graham? And every once in a while, you'll see somebody that tries to sound just like Billy. Not so much in these days, but I remember seeing that. There are so many people that wanted to be like him. But you've seen sons who really loved their fathers and who really wanted to imitate them. And when you're around them, you think you're around their father because they really drank that in. They drank it in. That's how it's supposed to be with fathers and sons, by the way. Oh, I know it's not that way. And if your father's not a believer, you don't want to drink that in. I understand that. But here was a father-son in the spirit. And he says, he's going to remind you of my ways. He's going to remind you that I live what I teach. I teach this stuff everywhere. I live this stuff everywhere. And he'll be there to live and teach me. And when you see it, I want you to imitate him as he imitates me, as I imitate Christ. Okay, would you do that? Some of you, though, you've gotten proud. You don't think I'm going to come back. Some of you are just kind of going off, living your own little independent life, trying to get the church to love you or somebody that you're following. And you've got this denominational spirit. You've got this divisive spirit about you. And you're getting proud about it. And I want to, when I come back, and I am coming back, I hope you understand, I'm coming to the church. I'm going to be there. And I want to talk to these people. I'm going to go face to face with them, and I'm going to challenge them to deliver the goods that they're talking about. Anybody can talk this stuff. Anybody can talk the talk. Anybody can get a hold of some scriptures and say that they believe the Bible. They understand the Word. And teach it even more convincingly than me and make you think, therefore, that they know it more and they're living it more and they're better than me. I want to talk to them. I want to see their life. I want to see their power. Does the Holy Spirit work miracles through them as he did through me? Do you remember when I was with you for those 18 months, how powerful God was in me? Don't you remember that? How about these guys that are challenging my authority right now? Do they have that kind of power? Do they work these miracles? Is God really manifesting himself through them? Is their life measuring up? Do they have the Holy Spirit power in them? Are they walking according to the power of the cross of Christ? Is that their message? No, I'm going to talk to these guys. I'll see if it's just words that anybody can speak or if it's the real deal. I don't think it's the real deal. You see, the kingdom of God isn't about just talky-talky. It's walky-walky. It's not about what I've learned, what I can speak, or how good a speaker I am. It's about, is God working in me or not? We're going to find out. when I show up in Corinth. It may not be too pleasant for some of you, but I want you to be there, and I want you to watch. And when you see the difference between my life and theirs, I want you to follow me. I have no question in my mind that I am living the life that Christ has put in front of me. I do have a big question about these guys, though. So what do you think? What is your desire? Should I come with this rod? Huh? Should I come with a rod? Ready to spank everybody? Now, when he's talking about a rod here, he doesn't mean a real rod, you understand. But Paul's rods, in the spiritual, could be far more effective than any natural rod. I'm not sure what it might mean. A curse of some sort on sin in that church. Some excommunications, as you're going to see in chapter 5. He could be tough. He could be very rough. The apostles were called to do that. And really, they've passed that on to pastors, but we got too many who are afraid. Well, if I kicked out all the sinful people in my church, I wouldn't have much of a church. Yes, you would. You'd have a wonderful church then. You'd have a holy church then. Instead of that unholy mess you've got now. No. You gotta be tough. Should I come with a rod? Or with love? Gentleness. It sounds like a parent, doesn't it? You want mommy to spank you? They're acting like babies. You want mommy to spank? Or you want an ice cream? I can come spanking. I can come with ice cream, too. Yeah. He was like a father to them. A good father. But he would never tell them to call him father, by the way. Jesus made it very clear that we're not to call anyone our Father who is in the earth. We always pray, our Father who art in heaven. Jesus said, don't call anybody Father on earth because you've only got one Father. But that doesn't mean that the characteristics of a Father are not in certain people in the world. And pastors in particular, you see this quite often, that they just have this fatherly concern for so many people. It's a real heavy burden that they have to bear. I trust that you pray for your pastor and support him. Many times he's spread too thin, got too many other things to do, and he really can't love as a father should. But that's his heart. That's what he wants to do if he's a true pastor. He really wants to be fatherly. But don't call him father, okay? You get yourself in trouble with him and with the Lord. You don't need more than one father in the spirit. Again, Paul realizes that he has the characteristics of God in him. And so he puts that into his thinking here, into their thinking that, yeah, I've been fatherly to you. But he would be the first to admit that that's the fatherhood of God coming through him to those people. He would never, ever want to be called father. Even pastor, you know, that's a good office. It's a wonderful, it's a biblical office, but we don't have to call people that, do we? We recognize their office, we obey them, we do what they ask us to do, but to give them a title, Jesus seemed to be doing away with all titles in that passage that he read. Don't call them teacher, don't call them anything. Why do you have to call them anything? They're not asking that. Every once in a while you'll find a pastor that demands that you call him pastor. Well, that's unfortunate because Jesus never demanded that. The apostles never demanded it. You don't see them calling each other apostle so-and-so. They called each other by their names. Well, I've whittled away another half hour of your time, but I hope it was profitable. I believe it was profitable. I know I said some things that were truth, and truth is always profitable. If you're in the market for that, this is where you're at in your life right now, I know it blessed you. We're going to go next time to start talking about the issues, the other issue, the rest of the issues in Corinthians. The first one will be about immorality, awful immorality in the church. Hope you'll be there. God bless you. Thank you for joining me in today's study. By God's grace, we will continue soon. Be sure to read ahead in the text. 1 Corinthians 5 is coming up. Be ready for the next lesson. I've written and recorded many other teachings on sermon audio. I invite you to check them out. Join me on several occasions. God bless you. Bye-bye.